You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
All right, guys, remember what we're looking for, and don't trust anyone.
Whoa, what now?
Hey, baby, where are your parents? Hey, who's baby?
What?
Really? A con baby? Impressive. We could use someone like you. Let's catch you up. My name is Raya. Our lands have been at war for as long as we can remember. Our people never see eye to eye.
My daughter, I believe our people can come together again, but someone has to take the first step.
Now, in order to restore peace, we must find the last dragon.
I wish to join this fellowship of butt-kickery.
Let's go. We'll have to watch our backs. We're not the only ones looking. 6 years of searching. Please let this be it. Almighty Sisu!
Who said that?
We really need your help.
I'm gonna be real with you. I'm not like the best dragon. Have you ever done like a group project, but there's like that one kid who didn't pitch in as much, but still ended up with the same grade?
We're doomed.
You and the dragon are coming with me.
My sword here says we're not. The world's broken. You can't trust anyone.
Maybe it's broken because you don't trust anyone. You just have to take the first step.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
Yay!
We're talking about the Falcon and Winter Soldier episode 2.
No!
Oh, yeah,
screw what all that stuff that we've put on the actual slides.
Oh, that's my dream podcast. Do it every week.
Okay, well, hey, we'll probably be back again on Friday night. So, yeah. Yeah, so you can talk about 2 and 3, but anyway, we're not talking about that.
Wait,
only joking.
Are you sure? Talking about the Falcon and Winter Soldier?
No.
See ya. I'm out. Bye.
Yeah. No, this is what happens after you've watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier and you go, what else is on Disney Plus? Oh, look at this $35 I have just sitting around. Guess
everyone's
it must be time.
Spare 35.
Yeah.
Just pricey, isn't it?
It is. But what is the name of the film that we're talking about, Jill?
Raya and the Last Dragon.
Oh, we're talking about Raya and the Last Dragon. Oh, I'm back for that. Definitely in for that one.
Oh, good. Right. You didn't want to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Oh, so you're saying Falcon and the Winter Soldier again?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Does it make you uncomfortable when I say Falcon and the Winter Soldier? Hi.
Who?
Dion.
Oh.
Look at him. He's I think he's actually muted himself. He's just really upset. Oh. he's got strong opinions. Oh no.
He gone.
He got strong opinions about Falcon and the Winter Soldier that involve him not being around. So isn't it good when we're talking about it just now?
Anyway.
Yeah, we're talking about Raya and the Last Dragon. Okay. Excellent. This is what I want someone here to talk about.
Who do we have? We have Quinny. I'm here because that's nice.
Yes.
There's a nice person with lovely hair.
Oh, thanks.
Damn it! That describes the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, fucking shade. Ow.
Speaking of vicious dragons.
Oh. Fuck. Well, it's the salty podcast.
Yeah. Much salt and so much love at the same time.
So it's exactly like the protagonist and antagonist in this film. So much salt, but so much love at the same time.
It's something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm down for it. Yeah, we'll talk about the shipping later.
I feel like we need to have like a new audio sting that is just the shipping news.
Well, yeah. Sure. I don't know what do I have. I forgot what I've got in here. Nothing.
No. Nothing good. You probably still got some Justice League shit in there. See? That's it. That's we can't even hear it. It's amazing.
Well, I'm Peter.
Yeah.
Because I think we sidetracked on
that. Yeah, we did a little bit. But hang on. I really like that one. So, Peter, could you introduce yourself again, Dion, and can you have that lovely sound effect for the introduction of Peter?
I'm Peter.
Oh, that's so magical.
That is kind of lovely.
I do.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, you do need the stabby music for when I introduce myself.
I wasn't sure whether that was, was going to be Dion's music.
Oh, and I'm Dion. Oh, stop it, you.
Oh, God.
I'm surprised you don't use that one more often.
Yeah, he does.
Oh! He's full of zingers tonight. Oh. Take the off really tired. She's just really
Yeah, I get me when I'm tired. Who knew?
We all did. We all knew. Because you are vicious. Anyway, we are talking about Raya and the Last Dragon, which is the new animated film from Disney on Disney Plus that you can actually go out into a cinema right now in Australia and watch if you so choose.
Yeah, slightly cheaper than staying at home to do it.
Yeah, or staying at home and watch it on your Disney Plus.
Yes, absolutely.
It's cheaper than staying at home to do it if you're single.
It is.
Watching on your own. If you're watching with your family, then it works out. Like
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. If you want to get a bunch of mates around, watch it on the TV at home. Yeah, cool. That's the way to do it.
Yes. Sorry, Rob. Yeah. Sorry. Probably in Queensland. Good idea to not go out and to buy it and stay at home.
Hold that thought in Queensland.
Just do a lot of streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one took a little while. It's been out for a little while, hasn't it?
A week and a bit.
Yeah. But that's comparatively, it just took a half a second to realize that it was there and that we could watch it. And then I was like, I want to watch it. And then I was like, wow, from the studio that brought me Moana.
Yeah.
A story that is basically Moana.
It's not true. That's actually not true.
It's not true.
I was going to say, are we getting into the snark already, D?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, so you say that the story is basically Moana. So shall I start with a synopsis? Have you got a sound effect for the synopsis?
Well, they'll put me on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Go on. Was that crickets? It was crickets. Okay. Long ago in the fantasy world of Kumandra, humans and dragons lived together in harmony. However, when sinister monsters known as the Droon threatened the land, the dragons sacrificed themselves to save humanity. Now, 500 years later, those same monsters have returned, and it's up to a lone warrior to track down the last dragon and stop the Droon for good. That is Raya and the Last Dragon.
Thanks for not doing a weird voice.
I thought about it.
Pretty strong odds it might have been racist.
Yeah. That's it. Like we talked about it before we went to air. It was one of those things. It was like, what do you do?
You know what you do?
Play it white.
You just don't do it, Quinny. You just play it straight.
Yeah, I apologize profusely to the chat, but I mean, if I'd gone for any kind of accent whatsoever, like it would have been in some way offensive or racist. Let's be honest.
Yes.
Even if I decided to go inexplicably Russian, people would be like, what's that about?
Yeah, why Russian?
Because it's not, you know, at least some kind of weird Asiatic voice. And. Which is where we're at, because we're in some kind of weird Asiatic kind of setting here.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely based on some amalgamation of the five fingers of Southeast Asia, mm-hmm. which is Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, and Myanmar.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Unlike Moana, which was totally based on one culture and not a combination of Pacific or oceanic peoples.
Is that the only parallel you've drawn?
Oh, no, I'm not even going to get to the spunky, godlike protagonist.
or the Alan Tudyk voice for an animal.
Yeah. Or the glowing, like, powerful stone at the center of it all. I mean, the
or a
only
girl being raised by her father.
I mean, look, these are all devices. I wouldn't say the plot was mirrored in any way.
You know what? It wasn't a musical.
True.
I was very disappointed in the lack of jaunty musical tracks.
I know.
You wanted some jaunt?
Yes. You know, I wanted a bit of a sing-along.
Yeah. I must admit, I was a little bit disappointed and surprised that there wasn't a, you know, remember the coconuts, remember the trees kind of business.
Right.
Oh, sorry, especially consider like the coconuts.
The last two movies we had were Frozen 2 and Moana that were like very strong musical movies.
Yeah. Sorry, I like Beck in the chat. He went to Juilliard.
So he could voice a giant Slater bug man creature. Yes. Wolf thing.
Again. Well, pill bug, some sort of armadillo pill bug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Yeah. Very,
but I kind called, of, called I kind vaguely of amusingly Tuk Tuk, which I was like, okay. So somebody's been to Thailand.
Raya has.
Yeah. Well, yes, absolutely.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, I mean, shout out to Alan Tudyk for managing to get into every fucking Disney film ever.
Being the only white man on a cast of Asians.
Yes. Congratulations for being the token white dude, Alan.
The token white dude.
But, yeah.
I hope he's happy with his role.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, ha. Huh? good one, Quinny. Because, like, he rolls.
Oh, the role.
He rolls.
I get you. Yes. Yeah. Well, sort of a shell anyway.
So the similarity, you know, there's a pretty standard hero's journey, you know, type story arc happening here, but I didn't feel like I was watching a, you know, cousin of Moana. So much it felt, you know, felt really nice and different to me. The style of animation was really different, you know. Yeah. The design, the art was quite nice. I didn't, you know, and there was no jaunty musical tracks.
Yeah.
So
it had personality all of its own, which I thought was very lovely, and I liked all of the characters, and I liked all of the, you know. The animation was a bit better, I've got to say. Preferred the animation.
Oh my God,
Raya
it just gets better
Dragon.
Every year.
Yeah.
Like the people at Pixar are just like geniuses.
The mocap and movement, yeah, is just amazing. But, it felt like it was its own thing, even though there were definitely just those hints where you're like, from the studio that bought you, here is something slightly different to appeal to a secondary market or maybe a primary market. We don't know. Want a sequel? Let's see how this goes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a very cynical part of me that looks at this and goes, okay, is this Disney going, we want to appeal to a very specific audience? You know, we have now got a remit, which is to try to appeal to a subsection. And that subsection in this particular case is a Southeast Asian market. Do we then try and talk to the Hawaiians and Polynesian and the Pacific Islander people through this one? Are we going to get films that are kind of aimed at a very specific subsection? Or
you say that this story was aimed at a very specific subsection? I would say that it's representing a very specific subsection, but I don't feel like it was aimed at that subsection. Like I said, stock standard hero's journey. This is the story for everyone.
It's extremely formulaic Disney. And I think that, you know, there's a huge audience for Disney films. It doesn't matter the representation of them. I just think it's important that we have it.
And
not to forget that we have had Mulan that's been out for God probably 20 years or more. So it's not the first Asian Disney film.
No, very true. Very true.
And it's not I think that the Disney Pixar audience is shooting for as broad as possible every single time. And to be honest, if in the films where they're representing particular underrepresented people or cultures, they were only trying to speak to that culture, that would be super sad, because the idea is to bring all of this into the mainstream and have it not be weird that we, you know, now have a Southeast Asian princess.
I love that.
It shouldn't be notable.
I love that. Right now it shouldn't be. And I am very definitely playing devil's advocate and being a little bit of an annoying cynic here, because I feel like it would be very easy to point at this and go, look at them do that cynical marketing thing. I don't think that's what this is. But no. I think it would be easy to see it that way, which would be very reductive, because that's not what this is about. And I think it is lovely, and it is very much the fact that it is about representing different cultures. So, yes, I'm poking the bear a little bit.
How dare you?
Poke the bear, Quinny.
Yeah, don't poke the bear.
Why would you do that?
That's because occasionally
the bear did nothing to you. Jesus.
The bear is a multinational conglomerate that owns,
the mouse.
Okay, so I'm poking the mouse.
Poke the mouse. Look, let's poke the mouse a little harder on some gay representation, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
They keep dancing around that one, but race is fine.
Well, did we feel that there was some
queer baiting here that then once again didn't necessarily get?
You'd really have to squint to try and find it. I know all these people talking about, Elsa being a lesbian, but honestly, I don't think she has any interest in either gender.
I feel like Elsa's kind of Schrodinger's lesbian. Like, they haven't said she is and they haven't said she isn't, so therefore...
No, but then again, this is the same case here again, is where they just sort of put a lot of vagueness around the character and let you draw your own conclusions.
But the only reason we're even committing
to something...
The only reason it's even something that comes up is because of, shock horror, there's a film with a female protagonist and no romantic subplot that runs through it. So we don't know who she feels like being romantic with and if she feels like being romantic.
But I mean, that's just me saying that don't jump to the conclusion that because she's not interested in a man, she's interested in a woman. Like there are other genders out there with sexuality.
Yes, and back in the chat, like, Elsa is ace as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
She got ice powers. She can do whatever she wants. Or not. No one cares.
Absolutely.
She can make her own friends.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be a conversation, but let's maybe, nail something down, Disney.
Yeah, no. Maybe actually say something.
Ambiguity.
Yeah.
Just have ambiguity.
Something's a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually one of the things that I really enjoyed about this movie is that there wasn't a shoehorned romantic subplot. Mm. And I didn't miss it and I didn't want it and I didn't really notice it until I finished watching it and I started thinking about things that I liked about it. There was no need for it. Not that plot, but there was no, there was not even a maybe. It's just not even about that at all.
Yeah.
There's a strong theme of friendship and trust and what that means that runs through it, which, I think worked and is a better, thing to tell a story about sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when the core theme running through this is very much about, the trust and respect and mutual trust is the only way that we're going to get through some dark shit. And we're
pretty sure
that's probably a pretty good message to throw out there.
You got the wrong message there, is we just need to find the magical dragon who will fix everything without anyone having to do anything.
What movie did you watch?
They still had to do stuff, Dion, even when they found the dragon.
Not to give too many spoilers, but they didn't do much in the end. They just let the dragon fix everything with its magical stone.
No.
No.
That's now we're breaking the fucking bed.
Let's break that down in spoiler town.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that was a good one. Wait, where's the...
Sake. Hey, I should never have reminded him about that fucking soundboard.
I feel like there's probably some stuff to break down there that we just can't talk about without going to spoilers, and it has only been out for a week.
Sure.
Sorry,
I was just going to say, overall, did we have a fun time? Because I had a fun time.
I mean, I didn't hate it. It probably wasn't my favourite. And I think that's because there was no songs.
I think it did suffer quite badly from the lack of songs.
For not having songs.
And I mean, not every movie has to have them, but there is, especially in this one where there is a musical style that could be explored.
Yeah, and it could have been so fun.
Yeah, and... there are so many, like, it's visually so fucking spectacular. Mm. I would have loved to have seen or heard a sort of exploration of that culture or that whatever, you know, through music as much as through visuals.
Mm.
I mean, I love Moana. I love Moana like it's going out of fashion. I think the characters in that and the way the songs, you know, explore the world and tell parts of history and everything like that is just fucking absolutely mint. Perhaps that has a bit to do with Lin-Manuel Miranda. Perhaps.
Might make you a little biased.
Well, that, but also I think he is such a good storyteller with music.
Lyrically, yeah, for sure.
And maybe they just didn't have anyone on board with this who... But then again, I mean, clearly it was never intended to be a musical.
No.
It doesn't have gaping gaps where there should have been songs.
That's the thing. Now I'm thinking about it, like there was so much story that we got through in Raya that maybe the whole reason why there wasn't songs was because they couldn't fill 90 minutes for Moana and so they had to stuff it out with some music. Like, is that an awful thing to say? But
oh, I mean, slightly. I feel a bit offended.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love Moana and I love the music and that's, like, the best part about it. But maybe they just didn't have enough to pad it out. So they're like, we can make it a musical because there's not that much story. Whereas with Raya, there was heaps of story.
There was. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
you know, we all have our own opinions on this film.
I did find myself there are a few times where I was wanting something. I don't know, I felt like it was missing a certain something in terms of a clear bad guy. I mean, the Droon are you know, obviously a pretty amorphous bad guy. Mm. And their reason for why they existed was a little bit, I don't know about that. But I do feel like that's perhaps something that maybe could have done with a bit more.
Yeah, I think the folklore or whatever it is around that story was a bit vague. But it's kind of obvious that the bad guy is distrust between the clans.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to really come in the form of a person.
No.
I mean, it does come in the form of a person. Quite obviously throughout the whole thing, which is...
Yeah, it's projected through Namari, a person.
Namari is not a very nice person. And in fact, everyone that Raya meets across the way, mainly except for Sisu, is pretty distrustful. Because they do some pretty terrible things.
That's the whole moral of the story.
Is it like a metaphor?
Yeah.
<It's like, laughs> Oh, my God. It all makes sense now.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, conceivably, yes. It may have, if there was a centralized villain, if there was like a King Droon or something like that, maybe that would have been too obvious or been a little too in your face. From a video gaming perspective, the drone reminded me an awful lot of Breath of the Wild. That in Legend of Zelda, there are these sort of things wandering around the landscape that'll just pop up at any point in time and fuck you up. And there was a certain design ethic of that reminded me a little bit of this.
They felt a bit like Edge of Tomorrow? The way that they represented the weird roly things. Yeah, yeah, the whatever they were. They kind of rolled around. Instead of killing people, they just turned them to stone in that kind of weird Medusa vibe. But I love that they let them get into very nice positions before they turned to stone. I thought it was
creepy that they all went into that position.
Yeah.
Really?
A weird suffocation thing.
Part of me feels like that the drones should have been scarier because it's actually a really terrifying concept. And the other part of me reminds myself that this is a kids' film.
Yeah.
The
real enemy is unlike distrust.
Kids' films in the 80s, they're probably not aiming to scar kids for life these days.
That's just bullshit. Sick of that. Yeah. Scar the fuck out of a kid. Make them just go, like, if you were to say droon to an adult in 20 years' time, I want them to go.
Yeah, that's how I was raised.
Yeah, if I whisper to you, gmork, everyone goes, oh, God, it's the fucking dog from Neverending Story. Shit.
I had the worst night terrors about gmork. He was on top of my wardrobe about to get, like, I still remember it now. I woke up screaming.
If I can pay for therapy, you kids can too.
Amy made an interesting point in there that some of the positions they got into weren't that
bugged me that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
And also, why? Why that particular pose? It was about receiving something or if it was about giving something, you would understand it. But
yeah, I don't know if it's supposed to be representative of, like, some of the statues from that area.
Don't know.
Maybe we just don't have enough cultural context in order to
significance to that position.
Understand it.
But. Now, I want to flag something that I can't even remember who brought it up to me, but it was a thing that I looked at and I just went, the dragon. The dragon has a fucking traditional Pixar face, and it's cute, but at the same time, it has. Traditional sassy cutesy face, and there was a part of me that was like, that annoys the shit out of me.
What, you wanted fucking Smaug? What the fuck do you want out of this thing? It's a kids film. Did you want
Bill? Yeah, you have to. Think of the merchandising, Quinny.
Come on.
I kind of hated the character design on the dragon
the
as
face,
well.
The Thank face you. Matched the voice actor. So
Awkwafina. I love her. I thought it suited Awkwafina. Her personality so well.
Yeah, that was great. I liked it. And I mean, how else are they supposed to make toys for babies out of this thing?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't make a feral, like, you know, look at all the rest of the faces on
also,
there. Like, all the tribal
also,
people are
it's
like,
it's not Arr. Chinese dragon.
No, it's a Southeast Asian dragon.
Yeah, exactly. They're a little bit more stylized. Like the art that they were holding with on the scrolls and stuff is very reminiscent of it.
And yeah.
So it's kind of like an interpretation.
Yeah.
They're not scaly big, you know, European or Chinese dragons.
No, I'm fine with that, but there was just something about the big cuteness of the eyes and the super fluffy cute you know, and I'm like,
I like that. It was refreshing. It reminded me of the luck dragon, and you can get fucked.
Yeah.
But even the luck dragon, Falcor has a very different kind of vibe. This is super cutesy, and it really didn't sit with me.
Yeah, it was cutesy, but I think these dragons are supposed to be friendly. I mean, they were the ones that helped the humans.
But you had
no in the first place. So
did you have
not,
no problem with
to be omnipotent.
Tuk-Tuk dragon. Having a cutesy face.
Oh, my God. Okay, can we talk about Tuk-Tuk going from the size of a palm to, like, being rideable? Like,
I love that. That was great.
There's suspension of disbelief on that one, Quinny.
It's not suspension of disbelief. I just didn't like the design.
Yeah, I like that they made
it. No, I completely agree with Quinny. I found it hard to kind of connect with the whole thing. It was mainly the eyes and, like, the cute little nose.
Maybe,
like,
the colouring too.
I love it. I split
like
right
the
down
pretty
the
pretty soft rainbow colours.
Sorry, split right down the middle here. I like the fact that this side hates the design. the cool side likes the design.
And what if Sisu was green or red? Would that have, like...
It wasn't a colour problem.
Not a colour
it's
problem.
It's mostly about the eyes.
Pastel blue. Design
problem. It's not about colour. The fact that it's essentially a My Little Pony.
Yes!
Yeah, what's wrong with that? It's a dragon. It's a fake thing.
My Little Dragon.
Yeah. It allows the rest of the characters to be grounded in reality because, like, all of the human characters were human. And the
and
two
actually,
forces...
that's perhaps the other big problem for me is that the other characters are so human and, you know, Raya especially is animated very, very human. And then you get something that is overtly cartoony.
Yeah, but only for a little while.
And the size weird. Of the eyes... And the fact that the eyes are very cartoony, black and white, just, yeah, didn't quite work for me. I mean, it's
Dragon
pretty.
Dragon also speaks human.
And he's human. He's sassy and fucking annoying at times.
And he's a human.
Yeah.
It yeah. Turns into one. But I like that.
The time I liked the dragon the most is when it learned to jump on the air and make the cool air steps.
Spoilers.
But yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. I think we need to leave the dragon alone.
Mate, we need.
Well, Peter and I are on the dragon side.
So. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. I like the character of the dragon. I just didn't like the design of its face. That's all. Jeez.
Oh, and I'm sorry, Beck. I didn't actually see your thing saying My Little Pony. I was on a different window. So congratulations. We're both right.
Yeah. We all appreciate it. We see this stuff in there.
Having said that, like, I thought the performance was really fun. I thought Awkwafina's performance was, like, super fun and engaging, yeah. And it helped me eventually get past the character design issues I was having.
She had, like, genie vibes, you know, like, speaking meta all the time, referencing stuff that's present day that obviously wasn't around back then. Yeah. But
do you mean mean Genie from Aladdin or Genie from I Dream of Genie?
What are you thinking?
I don't know. Why do you think I ask these questions? I can see both. Kind of, it's fun. Yeah, well, you know, I liked...
What I did find interesting is that when the other dragons... Sorry, Dan. When the other dragons came in, you could see a similar design but slightly less cutesified and everything, and I was a little bit more like, I would have gone for more of that.
Well, she's supposed to play the klutzy slash not very... powerful, a bit zany one, because that's what she kind of says, like right in the intro in the trailer. She's like, remember, you know, on that group project, and there's somebody just sort of turns up at the end and hands it in. That's
and
me.
And it's Scotty from marketing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, oh God, no, I don't want to pick.
Sorry,
ScoMo
I
on the
ruined it. This safe place.
ScoMo dragon.
Ugh.
Jesus. Yeah, okay. So apart from the issues that the wrong side of the podcast has, what were the good things? So I absolutely fucking love the animation, and I thought, how could they get any better? And then they got better, and I was like, fuck, I really wish I'd seen this on a big screen. I think it would have been a lot more kind of enjoyable from just watching what's going on in the big screen, especially the fight scenes and stuff, which I thought were great.
Yeah.
You know, all of the differentiated characters, because as they split the land up and they gave them all a thing, it reminded me a bit of that other thing that we've never reviewed.
Now you can talk about it because Casper's not here tonight. Okay. So you can say, you can give us your thoughts on Casper. Avatar.
Avatar the Last. It's like Avatar the Last Airbender, which was great. And we'll just do a quick review of that right now. Anyway.
It did have a lot of that, in that yep. kind of feeling of like, okay, these are the earth people or the earthbenders, and these are the firebenders, and these are the waterbenders and stuff like that.
As Panda says, here's the baby gang, baby monkey gang.
Oh, my God, con baby. Can we talk about the con baby?
I'm happy to talk about con babies and shrimp restaurant boat owner 10-year-old. There are some fun things in this.
I thought that all the characters were really cute, and I really liked the friendships that developed between them, and that, you know,
yeah.
they end up working together. And
I like that they all pull each other's feeling to it. They all pulled each other's heads in, but it also didn't it was representative of there was no evil play, human group. The evil was the fact that they all became too concerned about themselves and not concerned enough about each other.
I know Fang was starting to get pretty kind of like on the borderline of evil. I know that they're just trying to.
The Fang clan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the way that Fang were portrayed, of being isolationist, but also
expansionist.
Were they expansionist?
Yes. That was quite literally the last third of the movie, which was we're running out of room.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Enough.
We need to get that gem so we can make more area for our population to expand.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, okay. They were the ones that I guess were probably closest, and also because they were the ones of the first distrust, the first betrayal.
Yeah.
And also they had shaved heads and undercuts and stuff, so that makes them totally evil. Yeah, straight up.
Yeah, edgy people. You can't trust the edgy people.
Yeah, totally.
I'm kind of down for Team Fang. I like them. They're all cool. They got cool outfits. Yeah. They train hard.
Mm. Actually, it's funny. It took me a while to realize that this is because I'm stupid. That the team that they'd put together ended up being representative of all the different parts of the dragon. It was the whole thing. I know. Until I was like, but hang on, where's the? Oh yeah, shit. The baby is representative of whatever that place
Talon?
Was. Talon. Yes. And I'd forgotten that, the boy in the boat was representative of Tail?
Yes.
Tail.
Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, right. No, they are.
They were also helpfully color coded.
Yeah. Colorblind.
Oh, fuck yeah, that's great. Quinn's why are they all there together? I don't understand what's going on. We're like, oh yeah, right. Okay.
What use are those bloody glasses you're wearing then?
Just style. It's all about style. I tell you, my favorite out of them though, fucking Benedict Wong as Tong.
Yes. Yes.
So good.
I like Tong.
And I love that, that was virtually a character that they could have ripped straight out of Game of Thrones. Southeast Asian Game of Thrones. And there he is. Put him in this movie. Off you go.
Nice though. You're going to learn how to work together in order to resurrect the dragon thing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, okay.
Okay. Other things that you either liked or didn't like before we wrap up and rate?
I don't know. I thought the opening was a bit slow.
Yeah, lots and lots of exposition had to be gotten through.
Yeah. Mm.
And you think you're kind of over it with the introductory bit of exposition that sets up the world, but then you've got the learning from your father exposition as well that also kind of goes on.
So this could have been solved by having a musical number.
Yes. Absolutely. And you could have
had a little bit of cultural music at the beginning, maybe telling the story of how the dragons did all that shit, and then just go into what happened now.
And you know what could have been lovely is if they'd had different musical motifs for each area, end they bring it together in this beautiful musical.
Rewriting movies again.
I know. We've got to stop fucking doing this.
Raya and the Last Dragon, the musical.
Hey, dude, it's a matter of minutes. It's Disney. They have already worked out at least 10 songs for a stage show, I'm sure.
If that had happened, we would have missed the wonderful performance by my favourite, Daniel Day-Kim, as her father, as Raya's father.
Yes. He was very good.
And I want to shout out Kelly Marie Tran because she was phenomenal.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Raya was just such a cool character. I loved her voice.
I thought all of them were phenomenal, but it was really nice to see Kelly Marie Tran just absolutely own that character after getting fridged in Star Wars, which is kind of annoying. She was a good character, and then they fridged her. And I was like, And then Disney's like, that's all right, you're part of the family now.
Yeah,
here's another project.
We'll make it up to you.
Yeah.
Vietnamese representation.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and it was good to see her being given that opportunity. There are a couple of times where I was just like, oh, I feel like I don't know. Like, there are times that the character's motivations didn't necessarily always come through to me. I don't know why, but there are a couple of times where I thought they were having a nice time, like especially the dragon, where they were going for a joke as opposed to forwarding the story. And there are a couple of times I was like, eh, get on with it.
Fair enough.
So what's your rating then, Quinny?
Yep. Damn it. Fuck. I wasn't expecting to have to. You put me on the spot and I hate you.
We're only two-thirds of the way through the podcast. Might as well give it a rating.
Okay. yes, I will. I'm going to rate it a 75. I thought it was Excellent. Very pretty. Looks fucking incredible. Has some awesome fights. And I just found myself going, eh. Whether I'd be happier if it had the music or if I liked the dragon more. I think Amy mentioned that there are a couple of times that the lip sync on the dragon when she was human looked kind of weird. I don't know. Yeah, like it just didn't quite hit me all the way through, but I still thought it was incredibly beautiful. And I'm glad it exists. I just don't think I'd be in a rush to go back.
Ow. Still 75. Like it sounds, you don't want to go lower? Because that sounded like you did not have a good time.
No, I had a good time. It just, it didn't make my world explode.
No, that's okay. Let's hear from
that's a kind positive. Of what 75 is meant to be.
Fine. Peter, you're also on that train?
Yeah, I'm absolutely on the 75 train.
Look at
I had a nice time. There were lots of things I liked about it. You know, I thought the story was you know, strong enough. You know, it's hard to kind of pick apart something that is a tried and true formula. I enjoyed a lot of the characters. Disappointed by the lack of musical numbers. And yeah, just so you know, I didn't love some of the character design but I had fun. I had 75 out of 100 amount of fun.
Yes. I do want to pick up on the thing that you said there about the formula.
Yeah.
I dislike that I could see the formula.
You know, though, sometimes like you watch something, like if you're going to watch a Disney Pixar princess movie, then
be like, prepared.
Yeah, you get what it says on the box, right?
Yeah.
And you know, if it had been like outside the box in a wonderful way, then it probably would have got a 90 from me. But like, we all enjoy that box. That's why they're so successful. So
exactly.
You know, I got what it said on the box. If I got less than the box said, I would have been real disappointed.
Yeah. Let's extend this metaphor even further, shall we?
We're back to boxes again? Fucking hell. Stop talking about boxes. Jill, what did you think of it?
I'm giving it 70.
What?
Yep. Like you guys said, I had a nice time. It did what it said on the box, but there were no musical numbers. The story was
also mad about that, even though they never promised us musical numbers.
I
never promised you a rose cut.
Way straightforward, very formulaic. I know it's what we expect of Disney, but you know what? Could have stuck a surprise in there somewhere. Something to make me go, oh, what? And then it would have been phenomenal. But at the end of the day, it was a beautiful movie. But yeah, that was it. Yep. It was good.
Yep. I'm down for that. I'm with you.
It's good, not phenomenal.
Yeah. And I think that is a good point, that whole thing about if there'd been a surprise, if it had managed to do something that was legitimately surprising,
yeah,
cool. But
Yeah,
never does.
Dion? I would probably give this an 80. Because I just had a lot of fun with it. Like, honestly, I watched it and it's one of those ones I was not expecting anything out of. The animation was superb. I liked that it was slightly formulaic. That's okay. It sounds like I was like, oh, it's just Moana on a different one. It's like, yeah, but it was different enough to make it appealing. And it's almost like a formula now that I'd like to see them do other cultural like areas with. Like, why can't they just take this kind of thing and just run with it? Because if they're going to keep pushing it, putting out something like that, like, I'd love to see a First Nations one in Australia done of this. That would be amazing. I would just like to see what would they what, and I'd just be desperate to see what Alan Tudyk could play.
A kangaroo.
Yeah, yeah. Or a wombat. A drop bear or something. You know? Yeah, great. We're writing another one right now. Yeah. And I was disappointed by the lack of a few songs in there, but I thought it didn't really need it. I liked it. It was fun. And I liked the dragon and I liked Awkwafina and I liked all of the voice actors in it. And even though it was a very simple story, it's one of those ones that I would enjoy watching with, you know, children, because they would probably get something out of it. Or they wouldn't, and then you'd be disappointed as an adult. You're like, but this is good. Why don't you like this? And then I would have...
I mean, look, it's very firm on its messaging too.
Sure, sure.
Like, it doesn't... It's not subtle.
You know that people are generally quite stupid and they need a very simple message to latch on.
But again, like you said, it's for kids. So
simple. So kids are quite stupid.
All I learned from this is you just have to start trusting each other and eventually your selfishness will cause the destruction of the planet. Anyway, who wants to go to a clip?
Yay! Let's do that.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about all the spoilery bits, like when Alan Tudyk...
Of the Dragon Gem. But this world has changed. And its people are divided. Now, to restore peace, I must find the last dragon. My name is Raya.
And I also like the fact that they find the last dragon pretty quickly. They got to the fucking monkey, and I'm really happy about that in terms of pacing. It's like, I need to find the last dragon. I've grown up now. I found the last dragon.
It took 6 years to find the last dragon, Dion. Did you miss that little bit at the bottom of the screen?
But like in the story, in the film, it was nice and quick.
Yeah, and that's what you
got
want.
To the monkey, like, nice and quick.
Yeah. Get to the fucking monkey. Anyway.
Con baby.
Oh, con babies. Fuck yes. I love Con Baby.
Okay. So we're in spoiler territory now. Oh, do we have a thing that says spoiler?
I do. There we go. It says spoiler. It's there in the middle right now. Okay. Begin your spoilering of this for people.
Okay. Peter, you were saying that there was something you wanted to talk about in spoiler section. I'm trying to remember what that was.
Dion was saying that nobody did anything.
Oh, right. Yes.
It's not true.
It's not true.
What do you mean? I said that no one really did anything.
No, you said that Sisu was the one that fixed everything.
Yeah.
Didn't.
Sisu fucking buys the farm.
She gave them the tools to work out how to do it themselves.
Yeah, but then she fixes everything by putting the gem together. Well, she didn't. She was literally like, just, my brother,
she was dead at the time.
Put all the magic into this stone, and I need you to use the stone to kill the Droon. And then you have to just do that and trust. And it's like, why? You're just going to use the MacGuffin. The stone was the MacGuffin.
Why?
No, the stone was the stone was the object of the journey. There's always like, you have to take a journey to get a thing.
Sure. And that's, I mean, I know plot. You've got to put the heart of what's her name back into the island in order for her to regenerate. And
the heart of Tafiti.
Yeah.
Like, I get
see,
that.
I think that's one of the reasons that I liked Moana so much, is because there was actually a bit of a surprise in some way, shape or form.
That T'Kar was Tafiti.
Yeah. There
exactly.
Was sorry to anyone that hasn't seen that film. Fuck it, we're in all the spoilers now.
I mean, it's been a while for Moana.
Yeah. But you know, you've got that where it sort of it is a clever kind of reveal and a bit of a nice thing that says this is about learning and growth. There wasn't that. If there'd been some kind of thing with the Droon that they just disappeared.
Like some sort of musical number? Showing the Droon were actually other races all along.
What if the Droon were born from mistrust?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would have made a bit more sense.
What if the Droon were actually white imperial colonists?
Oh.
What if the Droon were the Portuguese?
I mean,
I feel like the Droon were just supposed to be counterpoints to the dragons. Right. Like we keep saying why Droon, but like why dragons? It's a fantasy world.
Yeah.
But like the dragons have so much more built around them in terms of their powers and their reason for being and their you know, connection to the land and everything. Whereas the Droon are just purple. Yeah. Angry purple. Now you stone angry purple. Good. Thanks.
I got to say, one thing that did make me giggle, completely unrelated to what you were just saying, I just remembered it. Tootin' boom.
Tootin' bugs, yeah.
What?
Tootin' boom.
Yes.
That was hilarious. I forgot about that.
I like the tootin' boom bugs.
That was a fun scene too. There was a lot of fun.
Sorry.
I think.
One thing I really disliked was the cat mounts. Because you've set up this whole thing that the people of Fang ride around on these badass cats and everything, and then they appear for one scene and get completely fucking left out of the rest of the film.
Yeah, well, it's like, much like, you know, you're just having your He-Man battle cat fantasies of like, why didn't they use them anymore?
Yes.
Kind of.
It's true.
Yeah.
I just wanted my battle cat big.
I know
cool
it set
fight.
It all up, but I mean, I like that
you
half
got a
of
battle
them,
pill bug instead.
Half of them were dead. You know, like all like I like the fact that it showed that not all of the tribes had survived. That it was a series of, like, you know, some people are all I liked all of those bits, and that you had to come down to the decision that you were going to make. To work together to try to solve problems, but that solving a problem was putting a fucking gem back, which would fix everything.
So one moment I did really enjoy was the moment where it showed a bit of real spine. Sorry, not intentionally, but in Talon, where we find out that the leader of Talon. A has been frozen for however long as statue, but the person who's taken over from him is fucking nasty. I was like,
little
okay,
old lady.
Yeah, a little vicious old lady who will kill you. I was like, oh, okay, that was interesting. Mm. And then we never did anything with it again.
Well, there's only so much
kind
you
of
can
like
put
the,
in
the whole thing was she got what she needed from Talon, and then we moved on. If this was a series, we could have like. Delved in, and that, you know, I think it's interesting enough that you want to know more, right? Like, how did these communities survive this last 6 years of what, you know, is essentially like the zombie apocalypse of the Disney world, right? Like, full.
Sorry,
Armageddon.
I want to see that movie now. Zombie apocalypse of the Disney world.
Well, then,
I'm pretty sure Disney have done a zombie thing.
They should do Enchanted 3. and it should just be a zombie apocalypse.
Haven't done Enchanted 2 yet.
Yeah, no, but like, come on, that's how you get to Enchanted 3. Enchanted 2 sets up the whole Disney universe, as in doing that, and then James Masters becomes Patient Zero, and then you have to go around and watch, you know.
No.
Yes. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, this... brains.
That's already.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's already happening, Quinny.
I mean, children.
We released an app for that. It's called Disney Plus.
God damn it.
Stick your kids for in front of it.
They'll never leave.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Like, it's too much of a thing.
But yeah, I think you're right, Peter. The idea that maybe that's the kind of stuff that, given a longer story, a multi-part TV series or something like that, you could.
Would you want to watch Raya and the Last Dragon TV series based on this film? Because you said
there was like more fleshed out in like the cultural stories, then yeah, I'd be up for it.
Yeah,
I think the world is interesting enough to support more storytelling for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen like an exploration on like Raya and Namari with like friends to enemies to friends again. That would have been good.
Yeah.
Well, okay. How do we feel about the somewhat queer baiting of that one? That ship.
I don't even know if you could call it that. It's so vague.
I don't necessarily read a ship every time I see an on-screen friendship or, adversary situation.
Even if one of your characters is wearing that particular hair that I looked at and went, wow, that reads very... queer. I mean,
okay, Quitty. Girl can't have an edgy haircut unless she's a lesbian.
A girl can totally have an edgy haircut. I'm more than happy for you to do whatever the fuck you want.
I don't like reading into stupid stereotypes.
Okay,
like
Coomer.
The way people look.
I'm not going to say that it wasn't said in the chat, however.
All right, well, I'm looking at everyone in the chat.
Yeah. I have to admit, at the very beginning of the film when that relationship was first developing, part of me went, it would be interesting if they went this way, and then they very quickly, very obviously didn't, and then I stopped thinking about it.
I also had a brief moment where, and I was very excited for the idea, that maybe Namari?
Mm.
Her mother may have actually been trans, because there was a point where I looked at a very, very strong design and not overtly feminine, and I thought, okay, that would have been fucking cool. If, you know, this was... because also in Southeast Asian cultures, especially Thai,
androgyny is more prominent than the Western binary stereotype.
And I think that would have been really cool. Explore that, let that play out and let that
Well, I mean, you can see the different influences of like body types amongst the different clans that you find in Asia in this movie. So,
and I like that it was pretty the romance wasn't actually that much of a factor in this. To the point where I'm like, I believe that we could ship whatever the fuck you want, because that's what the nature of shipping is, getting stuck in the Suez Canal.
That's where my stucky ship stuck.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not going anywhere.
But I think it was really nice that they made, like, they didn't have an overt romantic partnership in this at all. They just avoided it completely, because the whole story is about trying to repair like the land, the feeling.
There definitely was no room for romance in this movie.
Sure. And they they got around it by just having some pretty cool fight scenes.
Yeah.
Which were great. Like, they were really kind of fun. Even though it always ended up like, it seems to be from every Asiatic fight scene, is like, oh, it's just one-on-one. I'm just going to 1v1 you. Mm. The end. Like, you know, come on. That's not how fights go.
I will say I did like the sword. I love cool whip sword.
Yep.
Totally into that. Want more of that, please.
Totally into whip swords. Totally into Monkey Con Baby Gang. totally into people just doing self-serving things, even though it's like, you know, kind of, it's half like, well, by the end of the movie, I was like, fool me once. Shame on you, but just stop fucking fooling. I just love that it kept going. just kept going.
She what sort was, of self-serving she, things do you mean?
She was just the betrayer. Namari is just the betrayer. Like, started off as a kid betraying people and then just kept going all the way up to, well, you know, basically right at the end where she was about to betray them again. And it was like, yeah, oh, okay. Well, fair enough. Like, that's how it's going to go. You know, I kind of like that. I love the fact at the end there, she's like, I could get out there. Like, I could crawl through that hole and go and live and rescue my people and fuck them.
Mm.
But, you know.
Yeah, I do like that sequence. I'm getting this on credit. that was cute, and I like that.
Yeah, and like I don't think that we've talked enough about Boone. I liked Boone.
Oh, Boone, yeah.
Who is such a sad character, but also such a fun character that's in there because Boone's,
he was cute.
Yeah, his family died, so he's running a restaurant.
But he's quite charismatic. He wasn't one of those characters like, oh, yeah, my whole family's gone, so I'm this depressed little lonely boy. He was like, no, he was quite charismatic. He was picked himself up by his bootstraps and kept going.
Sure. And I like the fact that they made a fair few references to the food and the sharing of food amongst people in order to bring them together and the fact that it was, you know, prepared in such a nice way, which was like, you should sit down and have soup with us because it's delicious.
Mm. Oh, and Sisu's whole thing about gift giving.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's something I really did enjoy. I love the idea that she is just like, her way of dealing with the thing is, if we're nice to them to begin with and give them gifts, shit will get easier. And I'm like, you are right.
Cool. I'm down for that, Quinny. Anytime you come around to visit me. Just a little gift, Quinny.
A mask.
That'll keep me.
I have a toy.
His name?
Sea spray.
Fuck. It got me in there. Sorry. I got excited. I saw a Transformer I haven't seen since I was a kid, and that was cool. Show me more of your toys, Quinny. This is now a toy podcast.
Oh, we'll do a show and tell podcast another time.
Yeah, okay. Maybe on Friday.
On
Friday. Maybe I'll try and have all of the shelves filled and you can actually see what's going on behind me when we turn off the background.
I've got some hand sanitizer.
Yes, Pritikanga, I am a nerd. Like that was never in question. Yes. I actually really, really loved the way that food was presented. As you say, Dion, it was a thing that is a binding agent in that people, you know, eat food together, but also the way that it was animated, the look of it, they were very specifically going, okay, this is, you know, a Southeast Asian food, it is a laksa or it is some kind of brothy soup, and we want the spice and we want the flavors, and you're like, oh yeah, I know that flavor.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that
there was that lovely little note there where it was like, oh, rice. Oh, just haven't had rice for a while. It's like, oh shit, that's kind of like a allegory between actual famine and different cultures. Anyway, all right.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Wow.
Dark. So, okay, is there anything else that we particularly need to wrap up on Ryan the Last Dragon in terms of characters or actors or any plot points that we really feel that we haven't touched on?
I think so. I think it's pretty good. What do we end up in the scores?
Oh, look, we've got a few scores. There are a few in there that kind of threw the curve out. So the outstanding Yak and Panda have both added 90s into there, which will fuck up our scoring completely. So thanks very much, guys. But yeah, look, that I think it'll come out somewhere around that 80-ish mark.
Good. It's worth it. Like, get out there and do it. I mean, I don't know if it's a full, you know, as I think Peter said at the start, I don't know if it's a full single person sitting at home playing extra for Disney Plus. You know, you've got your $120 a year or whatever it is for Disney Plus, and then another, was it currently $35?
Yeah.
For that, I don't know if it's
I think it would be worth seeing it in a cinema if you can, because just visually it'd be so much more stunning to see on the big screen.
Yeah.
Because I was a little underwhelmed just watching it on the telly, to be honest. Mm. Pixar stuff is just like phenomenal. You want to see the detail.
Even though it's most enjoyable on, you know, watching films as Nolan intended. on your phone, sideways, in bed, or on a train.
Yes.
Like, yep. I still catch public transport to work, and I still am amazed by the people watch stuff just while I'm on buses or trains. And I'm just like, really? You're just going to hold the phone straight up and down and watch something? Okay. And then you're going to zoom in a bit. Oh, okay. Right. Anyway.
Yeah. And to those of you who went and watched it in the cinema, I'm glad that it made a difference, because I can imagine this having a very different impact on you, you know, in a big dark room, you know, with all the loud music and stuff.
Yeah.
And all the musical numbers.
Yes, yes, all those.
And all of the zero musical.
Honestly, when we were listening to that clip, the music in that clip, I was listening to it going, oh, man, it is so cool. Come on.
So that's James Newton Howard, who was one of my all-time favourite film music composers.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
And what else has they done? Have they done? Sorry. Me and the English language are taking a break right now.
We've chosen to see other people. Cheeseburger.
Yes.
Well, Lock. On his resume is Space Jam.
Come on.
Really?
Yes. And speaking of that, King Kong.
Hang on, which one?
King Kong, the one that we're talking
about. As in Get to the Fucking Monkey.
2005's Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's just a few. There's just a few there. It's all right.
Okay.
You know, you can go through his back catalogue. There's only a few.
It's a massive back catalogue.
Yeah.
Right. And what was the one that you sort of latched onto his music from, Peter?
Oh, I was a massive film music nerd when I was a kid. So it was like stuff from the 90s, like, you know, One Fine Day and like early stuff like that. He did the suite for that movie that ended sadly with Macaulay Culkin and...
My Girl.
Yes, thank you. Which is a beautiful suite. You should listen to it.
No, that was Major League.
What?
That was joke. Okay, obviously that joke didn't do quite well in there.
Where's that wah, 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 wah now?
Come on. Crickets.
Sorry, yeah, okay.
Thank you. That's well.
All right, fine.
Right. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
What are we doing next week, Quinny, before you start outroing us getting the fuck out of here?
I was going to say, you know, we'll just shuffle on and not talk about it and do what we did this week and make up our mind completely without asking anyone like we
Falcon
said we were
going
to.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 3. Great.
Yay. Oh, sorry. Is that Falcon and the Winter Soldier again?
Is Dion going to mute himself and disappear? Yeah. No, next week we are going big or we're going home, and we're going as big as they come, because we're going to be talking about King Kong versus Godzilla.
King Kong versus Godzilla. Yeah, I'm in for that one. That sounds great.
Yes.
I look, you know, it should be out. I'm looking forward to it. I have finally caught up and
I mean, it's out right now.
I hope I hope that you all appreciate that I have gone back and watched King Kong and Godzilla and Godzilla King of Monsters. And so I'm all up with the, what do they call it? Monarch.
Oh, the expanded universe.
Through line now. So now I can easily, you know, do all that. As long as we're not talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier, I'm really happy.
It's okay, Dion. We'll probably talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier more on Friday.
Wait. Yeah. My finger slipped. It's not as funny if my finger slips.
No. And that's what you said.
Fuck. Okay, Peter, it's time for you to take us out.
That's beautiful. It should just be my sound forever now.
Absolutely.
Easy.
And done. Dion, get ready with the... I was about to say get ready with your finger. So I would like to say thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Jill. Sound
thank
effect.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Peter. You're a fucking master. Thank you, Dion.
No, thanks, Quinny, first.
I'm always the butt of the joke.
Thanks, Dion. Yeah. Although we have had a request from the chat much earlier. Everyone wants to see your full shirt, Quinny, if you don't mind. Could you please show everyone your Wolverine t-shirt? That came that came early in the chat. It's like, want to see Quinny's Wolverine t-shirt. All right. You know.
Okay. I'll just back up a little bit. And I feel really dirty.
Show us your shirt, Quinny.
Okay, there you go. There's Wolverine.
No, there you are.
Yep, there you are.
Wait, there's a big thing in front of him that he's like, oh yeah.
Sorry.
That's the microphone cover.
Yes, that's the microphone. There you go.
Is anybody else wearing?
I've got Dion's gone lovely. Very nice.
Star Wars.
Batman. I'm just wearing the shirt I want to wear, guys. It's got no pop culture reference at all. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that was a thing tonight.
No, apparently none of us did.
Oh dear, yes, Panda, it's our OnlyFans coming up soon. What shirts are we wearing today?
Though, as we discussed a couple of weeks or last week or whatever it was, it's going to be an Only Flans. That's where you send in your cheesecakes and your quiches.
I thought we were doing Only Friends.
Yes, Only Friends.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield.
Amy, dear. I never shirt and tell.
Well, I don't know how to quickly segue out of this.
Just
bye.
Say bye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Just slowly wave and walk away.
See you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.